Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Support for Armchair and the Saints Happy Hour podcast comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you using on your balls. That's just nasty. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code ARMCHAIR.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast featuring Dave Cariello, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and when he decides to show up, Kevin Held. We are the perfect blend of Saints sincerity and stupidity.
At least Dave has the decency when he eats on the podcast. He's smashing a bag of Sour Patch Kids and a Jolt Cola.
Jolt. They don't even make that anymore.
I was trying to be stealth, but you guys caught me. But no.
I smell my own.
And now, here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. We are now officially deep in the throes of the offseason. Did either one of you...
No, we're not. The offseason hasn't even started. What are you talking about?
I mean...
We haven't had the fucking Super Bowl yet.
When the Saints aren't playing, man, it's the offseason to me.
I know, but we're not deep into the heart of it.
The whole NFC roster is, for the Pro Bowl, is the Saints, basically.
Are we going to watch the Pro Bowl? Are you going to get excited about that?
I mean, it's the Saints against the AFC, so I'll probably watch some of it.
Did either of you give a shit about the games yesterday? I felt so sad yesterday when I woke up because I just remembered that it was a year ago the Saints got fucked on Championship Sunday. The Saints got fucked, but Robert Kraft, he only got a handy. Just so we're clear. But Dave, did either of you... Did you watch? Did you care? Do you whatever about the games yesterday?
I mean, yeah, of course I watched. I would have cared more if they were exciting games, but they were pretty fucking lame. but I watched. I was disappointed to see the Titans lose. I was rooting for them. They were my team. I wanted to see them win. But I was really hoping for a fun, exciting NFC Championship game between the Packers and the Niners, and it was not that. The Packers just, you know, I've listened to a couple of podcasts already today, and the F word has been thrown around, fraud. They looked a little fraudulent out there, like they shouldn't have been there. And I'm not saying, you know, I know there's a lot of Saints fans out there who have been like, oh, Saints should have been there. And I think one of you guys tweeted it, the Saints should not have been there. They didn't deserve to be there. They didn't play good enough to be there.
I congratulated the Naval Academy for winning the NFC for throwing only 8 passes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, just my random thoughts on the NFC or championship weekend. I mean, as far as the Packers losing, I'm happy to see Aaron Rodgers lose. And I only say that for selfish reasons, and that being he's oftentimes put in the same category as Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and I've never thought that that was fair. I never thought he really is in that. I feel like Brees, Brady, Manning, they're a special top tier, and Brady, I mean, Rodgers is albeit a great quarterback, but he's just still not at that level. So, I mean, it was good to see him not make it to the Super Bowl and have a chance to win another Super Bowl, because then there would have been a discussion, well, is Rodgers better than Brees? And I would just be fucking annoyed that even somebody would even ask that fucking question. So I'm happy we put that to bed. That's not going to be an issue. I am unhappy about the fact that, I don't know whether the Saints would have beaten the Packers in Green Bay, but I definitely think they would have put up a better fight against the Niners. I mean, that was just ridiculous. I mean, it was like they all just gave up. I mean, it was. But
at least we made Jimmy Garoppolo beat us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, last thing is like, but part of me feels like we wouldn't have had a chance because, I mean, you see these teams that are in the chat. You got Derrick Henry with Tennessee, and now you've got Mostert with the Niners, who's come on strong since like later in the season. I don't know. We would have had to sling it around a lot. That was what we were doing at that point. We weren't running the ball effectively. Kamara didn't seem to be himself, and Peyton was not committed to letting Latavius Murray just run with it. And I don't know whether we would have been able.
What was his first name again?
Ladavius.
Ladavius.
Sorry.
I was confused for a second. I didn't know who you were talking about.
I just don't know whether we would have been able to hang with these guys. I really don't. I hate to say it, but
here, you know, Andrew,
Not so much the matchup in isolation. It's you would have had to play the Vikings and then the Packers on the road in the cold and then go out to the West Coast to San Francisco. Like I think the issue to me was less the matchup and more the seeding, you know, that just the circumstances around which the Saints probably, I mean, who's to say if the Saints don't go into Green Bay that they win the game, but that they lose some players in that game, you know? And so I think we talked about this today, Ralph. That was the big takeaway for me. I just think the 49ers were healthier.
I think the Saints would have looked a lot like Tennessee, where they would have started great, but they would have faded. And you saw it with Tennessee. Like, they kind of ran out of gas. But I tell you one thing. The Saints wouldn't have allowed the 49ers to run the ball 13 fucking straight times on them. Like, that wouldn't have happened.
It was crazy. I mean, it's like they knew it was coming, and they still did nothing to stop it. It seems like they made no adjustments. I mean, I was listening to some podcasts. You know, they were saying basically the Packers, they kept staying in nickel and dime coverage, and they played eight in the box like 13% of the downs, which I mean, like those 13% should have been in the first half of the game, and I mean. Once they were getting, I mean, it was just like as soon as Mostert got the ball, I mean, it was just at least 15 yards every single clip. He was just.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Fucking gashing them. Just fucking gashing them. It was a murder. It was a crime scene out there.
I can't.
In this playoffs, you're not supposed to be giving that shit in the playoffs. The Packers are supposed to be a playoff team, and they look like the fucking Dolphin, the Browns out there. I mean, that was terrible. That's embarrassing. They should be embarrassed.
They should be. That on the last football Sunday of the year where we had multiple games, Green Bay got destroyed. But my question is,
do you think the Saints – well, hold on. If the Saints had played the Packers, though, would they have run LaDavius Murray over and over again, or would Sean Payton have just thrown on every play and cost us the game?
That's a good question. It's a good question. I mean,
if you ask Saints Twitter, I already know their answer.
Well, here's the thing with Saints Twitter. We'll get to that in a second. They're losing their minds, but
that's a Saints Twitter is at a bad place, man.
Saints Twitter is in a horrible place. The one
you
thing that I watched with Saints,
it's going to drive you to drink
more.
Too late.
Dry January's out the window. But the thing with San Francisco is Green Bay was just a god awful matchup for Green Bay. But I just don't know, like Andrew said, with injuries. But the one thing with that game yesterday that was just delightful was to, like Dave said, watch Aaron Rodgers just fail and flop. And it made me feel better about the Saints going forward into 2020 because San Francisco is going to be good, even though they purposely hide their quarterback in a way that I have never in my life seen a team that won a conference championship hide their quarterback like that. So I feel the Saints are positioned to compete and be the second best team in the NFC. But that was the question that popped in my head that I forgot is, Andrew, can you remember a team hiding their quarterback like San Francisco did and still win? I can't. And I know you're going to say Peyton Manning, but Peyton Manning threw 70 times in the two games that Denver won when he won his Super Bowl with them. Garoppolo threw 29 fucking times in two games.
No, I mean, I can't remember. No. I mean, maybe in the 70s when teams ran the ball more, but I can't remember a quarterback doing that little and a team winning. It was pretty pathetic, honestly, from the Packers, like Dave said. But, you know, I agree with you, Ralph. I do feel better after watching that. You know, I just feel like it would have been a tall order for the Saints to go into Green Bay, then go into San Francisco, and then beat the Chiefs. Like, that would have been the path for us. And I just feel like even if we had gotten past Minnesota, even if the Saints found a way to win on the road in Green Bay, I'm not sure the way it was set up that they were going to have success. It's a week
still
later,
mad.
And I'm already
mad at Pete Carroll, that fucking asshole.
Yeah, dick. But so we're 2 weeks later, and I'm totally over it. You know, I'm ready to move on. And
you know, it's not over it. Saints Twitter.
But what you know that makes me realize is how much worse the Rams game was for me, because like, I was still carrying that shit like 2 months later. It was still bothering me.
I'm still carrying it now.
Yeah. So like it just my instinct, you know, right after the game, things are so fresh and raw. And I was like, yeah, that was horrible. But the Rams thing was worse. Like 2 weeks removed from it now, man, like I still think about the Rams and it just makes me sick.
Dave,
it was out of our control. It wasn't our fault. There was nothing we could do about it.
And the fact that it was like that call was a difference between us going to the Super Bowl and not. Like to me, it's again, like you talk about the path going into Green Bay, going to San Francisco, like so much other stuff had to happen with the Rams thing. One call put us in the Super Bowl.
We were a minute away.
Yeah.
We had hurdled every other hurdle. Dotted every I, crossed every other T, and we were about to kick the game-winning field goal.
So I maintain that that is worse than San Francisco in 2011. For me, that is the most horrific Saints playoff loss ever.
It's worse. It's
Saints playoff, the worst playoff loss ever in the history of the NFL.
The only thing that I think is comparable to it is Cleveland 87-88 losing back-to-back, or 86-87 losing back-to-back AFC championships on the drive at home and on the fumble. But that wasn't referee-induced. It was just two horrifically bad AFC championship losses back-to-back.
Well, the Bills losing four Super Bowls in a row was pretty rough.
Yeah, but the Super Bowls, they weren't all close, though. They got progressively worse. And
yeah, but the Scott Norwood thing was
bad. But I want to talk about one thing, is that the Saints losing three straight walk-off playoff games in walk-off fashion, Dave, has broken Saints Twitter and Facebook, if that's where you hang out to chat Saints, in a way that is just... I thought Saints Twitter in 2015 and 2016 was insufferable because the defense was bad and people wanted to get rid of Breeze. And I thought it couldn't get worse than that. Saints Twitter now is just... It is broken, and we are mad, and we don't know who to lash out at, so we lash out at each other. Saints, I know you say stay off of Twitter and all that, Dave, but do you think Saints fans in general are in a bad place right now? I feel like we are.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't spend my entire day on Twitter, even while I'm at work, just consuming every little thing. I feel like you and Andrew, you in particular, Ralph, I feel like you probably don't miss one goddamn tweet on your timeline, and you follow like 1,300 people. I'm sure there's a lot of negativity out there. I mean, it's not like they don't have a right to be upset. I mean... But at the same time, like, what could you possibly do? I mean,
my problem with Twitter is I go dark for like half a day, and then like someone will write something that sets me off, and then I just get sucked into the vortex, and then I just that's what happens to me. So like, you know, someone will criticize Drew Brees. The one that really got me today was that the Saints have no creativity on offense. And so
that was a patron, so he won't be too hard on him. But you're wrong, Mike.
Taysom Hill throwing a bomb and like Sean Payton basically pulling every trick out of the book with Taysom Hill because it's the only way the offense was working. Like literally, the only thing that worked were his adjustments.
Colin says off-season apathy. Only real masochists consume Saints 365 days a year. Man. That's what this podcast is about. $7 a month. You can get a podcast, Saints podcast, every day.
That's right.
We're here for you, man, Colin.
That's what this podcast is for. It's for the obsessive fan, degenerate like us.
But I do think, you know, we talked about it last week and a little bit right after the Minnesota game. It's just, like, they've gone 13-3, so there isn't, like, a glaring fucking hole that you can be like, go and get a defensive end and we'll fix that pass rush or we'll fix that secondary. It's like, what do you fix?
Don't choke.
Don't fumble in the fourth quarter, Drew. But, Dave.
What happened to health? I thought Kevin was joining us this season.
No, he wasn't. He had emergency, some sort of, breaking news in the St. Louis area. A cat's in a tree or some shit. I don't know. Which was good because I got to change the open. Whenever Kevin joins us, I do a Kevin-specific open. So I had to swap out the open real quick and do the Dave busting on Andrew for eating during the podcast. But, you know, as we get into this, you know, LSU won the national championship. Go Tigers!
Yeah, baby!
15-0. But
we're still
talking about that.
Maybe that's why I'm over the Saints playoff loss.
Yeah, Dave. Here's the thing that was so great about LSU winning.
My wife
found my ticket from the Bellagio, where I told her to bet $30 when she made a work trip to Vegas last year. So I won $270, and I proceeded to spend every single dime of it on LSU championship merch. But that got me to thinking, one of the questions I want to talk about tonight is, would you, Dave, if I told you you can have a Saints Super Bowl in 2020 or the Saints can draft Joe Burrow, and you can have 8 division titles in the next 10 years, but I don't guarantee you a Super Bowl. What do you want?
You don't guarantee me a Super Bowl, but they could potentially win one.
They could potentially win one, but I'm not guaranteeing it. You can have the Super Bowl in 2020.
So I'm a gambler, so I would say I'm going to take the division titles and just assume that one of those, they ought to be able to win the Super Bowl. And plus, we get to watch Joe Burrow. I'm obviously not a huge LSU fan, but Joe Burrow has definitely won me over this season. I mean, he's
You're just thinking of all the money you're going to make, aren't you? You just...
it certainly wouldn't hurt. Certainly wouldn't hurt. But no, I mean, it'd be pretty cool. Joe Burrow's a cool guy. I wouldn't mind seeing him here.
Andrew, what would you?
And obviously, that means that there was a fairly smooth transition from Breeze to Burrow, and that they're at least good enough to win. So,
sorry, I was a big surprise. I was on Twitter. It looks like Jimmy Graham may have just retired. I'm not sure.
Really? Wow! Breaking news! Play the fucking thing. This is
yeah. Juke rule. Okay, you turn me on. Yeah.
Jimmy Graham retired. He passed up $10 million.
Official or not, it's one of the commenters just turned me onto this. But I looked at his tweet, and so it's a picture of him holding up a peace sign, like in his with his fingers, and he just says, "This becomes harder every time you see others raise that trophy. I'm blessed and proud of these guys for battling to prove a lot of people wrong. Thank you for sticking by me for 10 years. I've given everything I have in pursuit of a ring. I am in your debt, and I am in your debt for believing in me." That's it. So I don't know. It feels like a goodbye, but maybe it's just a
end. Jimmy, you shouldn't have gone to that cold weather hellhole. You should have come home.
Yep.
So
should have run it back with the Saints, man.
I'm just saying, man.
Anyway, so wait, sorry. Which one did you pick, Dave? You picked. Did you pick Joe Burrow or did you pick?
Yeah, you picked eight division titles in 10 years.
Joe Burrow, division titles, and working on the assumption that one of those division titles they'll be able to turn into a Super Bowl.
Give me the title, baby.
You want the title? I mean, it's hard.
I mean, it's a definite thing. Like, we've seen what it looks like when. Look, if 2009 plays out differently, imagine what tortured, miserable soul we would be on this podcast right now. I mean, I'd like to believe that we're generally glass half full type of guys, so maybe we would still have fun with this, but I think our existence is probably a little different had they not won in 2009. Besides that,
is today the worst day of your life? Yeah.
Besides that, it's been 15 years with Sean Payton. Of, I mean, do you call it underachievement? He's basically Andy Reid if it's not for the title in 2009.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if you call
it. You're about to not be able to say that anymore.
Yeah, right.
I think so.
It's at least underachievement in the postseason. And especially these last 3 years, the fact that this team hasn't done more with winning, God, I mean, how many games have they won? 37 in the last 3 years in the regular season?
37
so, I mean,
and
37 11. Wins in 3 seasons. I mean, you got to do more with that than the Saints have done. So, you know, we know what that looks like. And, I mean, if you tell me I get 10 years of that, but no guarantee of a Super Bowl win.
You get more. You get more because you get – the Saints have had 6 division titles in, like, 14 years. You get 8 and 10. Like, you basically get – the New England Patriots ruling the AFC 50, East, 50, but you don't get a guaranteed
ring. Getting a bye is 50-50, so you're basically telling me that, like, they would get 4 byes out of the 8 division titles, right? Like,
probably.
You say it's 50-50. Yeah, those are pretty good odds to get to a Super Bowl.
I mean, here's the thing.
I still take the given. I still, like, give me another Super Bowl.
Here's why it's so tempting to take the 8 division titles in 10 years, because you'd never have to play this.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Like, you would be good until 2030. You know, and...
Yeah, but aren't you good till 2030 if you win a Super Bowl?
It's true. It is true. I mean, it's hard, though. I mean, I purposely made it... like, ridiculous amount of winning instead of the Super Bowl, because I think that's the only way to make it difficult. Like, if I made it four division titles or five even, I wouldn't even consider it. But yeah, 8 out of 10, like, that is a lot of fucking winning.
You get a lot of mileage out of a Super Bowl win. I feel like it wasn't until, like, the 3rd or 4th, 7 and 9 that fans started getting really pissed off after that Super Bowl win.
Dave, are we still celebrating 2009? I kind of feel like we kind of are.
Yeah, I don't know. This has been 10 years now, so I don't know. I don't know whether we get to continue to celebrate.
Does Ed Ogeron get a 10-year window because of LSU this year, Andrew?
Yeah, he probably does. Wait, so that actually, I just thought of this question. So let's say in your hypothetical scenario, Joe Burrow comes to the Saints. He's the quarterback. Let's say there's no overlap between him and Breeze. Let's say Breeze leaves, retires, goes somewhere else, and then Joe Burrow comes in. They're never on the team at the same time. Does Joe Burrow get wear number 9?
I don't think so. I mean, no.
I think Breeze would let him.
Yeah, probably would.
Breeze would approve, I think.
If he retired. Yeah. If he retired, if they force him to go to retire in San Diego and play for the Chargers, maybe not.
God, you just planted that seed in my head. I just realized that's possible. Oh.
Is Joe Burrow the
only... Oh, my God. He's going to go back to the Chargers.
Philip Rivers to Tampa.
Ralph, why did you even suggest that?
Philip Rivers to Tampa. Drew to San Diego. Teddy will be the Saints starting quarterback.
You realize they play in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah. Whatever. Until they have actual fans in Los Angeles, they're the San Diego Chargers to me. How about that?
If we replace Drew Brees with Philip Rivers, seriously, that might be the worst thing ever.
I mean,
if we swapped quarterbacks with the Chargers,
I can't watch.
I mean, of all the things you could do to Drew Brees, of all the things you could do to Drew Brees to replace him with Philip Rivers again. Like, seriously, of all the things, like, that would be the worst thing.
Philip Rivers and his
Mickey Loomis could do to Drew Brees.
People in the chat room are very take the Super Bowl. They want the Super Bowl. The 8 division titles does nothing for them. The other thing
I agree
that I wanted to talk about tonight is, and by the way, you should become a patron. I did a podcast with James from Astros County where we compared the Astros cheating scandal to the Saints Bounty Gate scandal in 2012, and we compared like how the Astros handled it and how the Saints handled it. It was really fun and interesting. If you're an Astros fan, you'll find it really interesting. But even most of your Saints fans on this podcast, obviously, you will find it interesting also. It's really cool. If you're a patron, you can get it early. The rest of you people get it Wednesday morning. But Dave, it got me to thinking about this question. And the Astros clearly cheated in 2017. So whatever. I don't care. I got $200 worth of World Series merchandise. But how badly would the Saints have to cheat their way to a Super Bowl in 2020 to where you would feel the least bit of shame? Like, what would they have to do for you to be like, oh, that title's tainted? Is there anything at all they could do?
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, they could definitely cheat and have it be tainted for me personally. It's got to be something that directly relates to the play of the game, the live play of the game. In other words, like the Bounty Gate stuff, like you can tell a guy, you can motivate a guy and pay him if he goes out and, you know, knocks out a quarterback or whatever. I'm not saying this is what happened with the Saints, but there's no guarantee that he's going to actually go and do that. But if you're
he still has to play within the rules of the game.
Yeah.
And then he gets flagged for a personal foul if he's like,
yeah. But if you're getting buzzed underneath your jersey when you know you're getting a fastball inside or whatever, then that allows you to make a direct a direct decision that directly impacts the game immediately. So it would have to be something like that. And I guess it could be like sign stealing.
But I mean, would you care? Like,
the thing actually is to what the Astros were doing was what Mickey Loomis was accused of with the whole wiretapping thing. And that would be the closest, because then you're maybe picking up off strategy or plays that the other team is running that you can then relay. Like, I mean, he was exonerated, or it never went anywhere or whatever, but what he was accused of, to me, that's more similar.
But after 2018, Dave, and the Saints getting something stolen from them, I don't know what they could do that would cheapen it for me. I mean, maybe they could, like, kidnap players in the playoffs, and you would find out, like, Aaron Rodgers, like, disappeared game day, and you found out that the Saints ran some sort of kidnapping scheme. And even then, like, in the moment, I wouldn't.
Well, if they did that, honestly, you know that Ornstein would be orchestrating it.
I mean, if they did that, honestly, I'd be impressed. So, honestly, I'd have to slow clap for that.
Like, if they hacked into the other team's tablets on the sideline and knew what they were looking at and what...
Sent them viruses for the wrong place.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, anything that allows them to know what play that the team is that their opponent is calling during the course of the game as it's happening, that would be beyond the line for me.
Like, if DeMario Davis, if he in the headset, like Dennis Allen would call the defense for him, and then he could hear the quarterback's headset. Like,
yeah,
if they found out that the Saints were doing that, like, would you be like, I can't wear this championship shirt anymore. It's tainted.
You wouldn't find it funny.
I mean,
I'd probably still wear the shirt, but
So you wouldn't feel that much shame then if you're still wearing the shirt.
Like, I wouldn't be able to, like, go, you know, talk shit to my friends who have, like, are fans of other shittier teams and be like, oh, my team won 2 Super Bowls, and because then they would immediately be like, well, one of them really doesn't even count. I'd be like, yeah, you're right. Okay.
No, I'd be like, get yourself a better IT guy, dude. We got the best from Eastern Europe. They hacked into that shit, and we got there. Please hire yourself some better IT people. How about that?
Get yourself a Russian.
I just feel like morality is for, like, what I'm teaching my son. You know, it's morality is, like, what I do in my serious life or whatever. Like, I don't demand that from my entertainment. Football is entertainment, and it really, like, if they were to cheat, like, I mean, it wouldn't offend me from the level that it's like, look, it's kind of up to them how they want to run stuff, and, you know, whether they're gonna have a pay to injure people program or not, or steal Vicodin, or like, or whatever the Saints do in their free time, like, or how they approach winning a game, like, it really, it's up to them. And I realize this is these people's lives, but, like, for me, I watch it for entertainment. And I've told you this before, Ralph, like, I don't demand that football players for the Saints have this general moral code that has to allow me to root for them. Like, I don't care if some of these guys get arrested or, like, I mean, it's nice if you get to root for a guy like Breeze or a guy like Colston or Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, that seem like good guys that lead clean lives off the field and aren't idiots. I mean, it's nice not to have a guy like Antonio Brown, because I would feel dirty and not like rooting for a guy like that. But, you know, the bottom line is I root for the emblem. I don't root for the people necessarily. And I don't care if they cheat. Like, I would find it funny on some level. Now, I mean, the thing is, like, if you're going to do it, you have to accept responsibility for everything that comes after. So if you get caught, like, first of all, don't get caught. But if you do get caught, like, and you lose draft picks, or you get suspended, or the title gets taken away, like, those are all risks that the Astros knowingly took. And so, you know, if I'm an Astros fan, like, does it taint the title? I mean, in the eyes of everyone else, probably, but I mean,
but
you
they
still
never
had
take it away.
Yeah. You still had that experience. Like, they still won. And even if they were to take it away, you'd still have that joy in the moment of them winning. So
they can come get my throw blanket, my 2017 World Series champion throw blanket. They can come pry it from my cold, dead hands.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery
starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
You know, but I mean, I guess to me, like, if the
like,
Saints...
do you guys really care about the integrity of the game, though?
No, my wife doesn't. The Astros traded for a dude, he beat his girlfriend to a pulp. And I was like, man, that guy, I don't know if I want that guy in the Astros. My wife was like, I don't care. Can he get guys out? Yeah, cool. Like,
can he hit a double?
Like, she doesn't care. Like, she does not care. And the thing is that she'll tell me, she's like, Mel Gibson, when he drinks, he spews horrible anti-Semitic stuff. She's like, but you still will watch Braveheart every time it's on. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, how is that different? And I'm like, it's not really.
It's
so,
not.
I mean,
it's just like, if it's like listening to Michael Jackson's music, like, are you going to make the disassociation and just say that, like, hey, it's a great song and I enjoy it and I'm just going to listen to it? Or are you going to think about all the sordid, awful things that he's done, allegedly?
The only person that I will say that I've done that with music is I really liked R. Kelly, and I had to stop listening to his music because
that's your first mistake right there.
Well, here's the thing, though. If
you liked R. Kelly,
I like R. Kelly.
It's way more offensive than the fact that you would pay to benefit his career or whatever.
But here's the thing. R. Kelly's music, if you like R. Kelly, all his songs are about sex. And once you know what he did to those girls, you're like, oh, this is creepy. I can't listen to this anymore. So that's the only thing. And yes, have I outed myself as an R. Kelly fan? Possibly.
No, not possibly. No, not possibly. Definitely.
I'm really offended.
Now, Fredo says, now I'm going to picture Ralph dancing in his kitchen to Bump and Grind. See, that's the thing. Once you know what R. Kelly did, when you listen to Bump and Grind, you're like, it's kind of gross.
Kind of. Well, so let me ask you this. This is on topic here. We were talking about players who have cheated or whatever. First of all, I'm assuming you draw a distinction between cheating and being dirty, like Vontez Burfict or the Miles Garrett shit. I mean, those are two different things.
But... Are you asking me?
No, I mean, I'm making sure that we're all in agreement.
Well,
with that.
The thing is, though, Vontez Burfict is his own level, because Vontez Burfict, he was so dirty that he was costing Cincinnati playoff games with penalties and stuff. So that's why.
And I'd be like, get that guy off my football team for sure. But like, I don't know. You loved Mark Ingram, Dave. He was busted for performance-enhancing drugs.
I have no problem with drugs. I feel like most players or players on all teams take drugs. So
no, I agree. But I mean, was Mark Ingram a cheater?
And I'm not above like that kind of cheating. Again, that kind of cheating does not bother me.
I agree with you. But if you're going to say that, I just think there's no kind of – it's entertainment. And so there are many things that the Saints could do that I would find comical. I personally, in the same position, if I was a GM or a coach or a player, I would not do those things personally. But I do not demand, like, I don't watch the Saints. Like, I'm interested in the stories, and I guess I care about them as people, but, like, I don't know them. They're not my friends. I don't hang out with them. So, like, on some level, yeah, it's nice to see that Drew Brees has kids and he loves them and he's a great dad. Like, yeah, that matters to me a little bit, I guess. But I just, it doesn't matter to me if he's a cheater. Like, it wouldn't change anything. If I learned all of a sudden that, like, Brees was able to play football until he was 41 because he was best friends with Lance Armstrong and he had the Lance Armstrong cocktail that somehow found a way to prolong his NFL career, like, would I be outraged and disgusted? No, because it's a decision that he's making with his life. He feels like he's got to do that. And if it helped him get a better career and he's assuming the responsibilities of whatever health issues he's going to have downstream from that, like, that's his call. It's out of my control. All I can do is decide whether I'm comfortable on Sunday watching the game or not. And that's really it.
I would thank him for his commitment to getting me a second Lombardi trophy, that he would put his future health at risk for my personal happiness.
And let's be honest, like, right now the Saints could use a little cheating based on what's been happening to them.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, a little payback for the refs in the Rams game. Like, the cheating has been going the wrong way as far as I'm
concerned. Dave draws the line at Igor from Yugoslavia hacking opponents in playoff games, but I don't. But Dave does. We got some interesting questions for the Twitter questions that I asked people. But before we do that, people, you only have one more game of football. The Super Bowl is in 2 weeks. Go to mybookie.ag. Right now you get a 50% sign-up bonus. Do weird Super Bowl parlays with the Super Bowl and the Pelicans and MMA. You can still gamble. And right now you get a 100% sign-up bonus. Use the code CHAIR at mybookie.ag. It's the best online gambling site, the safest, securest, most robust online gambling experience. Go to mybookie.ag, use the code CHAIR, get 100% sign-up bonus. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Terms and conditions apply. Dave, we got some interesting questions. What veteran would you like to see join the Saints in free agency? If you don't have a name, give me a position that you're sort of starting to lock in on after the playoff loss.
I'm going to say this till the cows come home. I've already said it before when I've answered a similar question, but wide receiver. I'm going to take all the help we can get at wide receiver. I want to draft a guy, a real young guy, in the middle round. It doesn't have to be the first round.
But, are you cool with an LSU guy?
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah. I'm definitely cool with an LSU guy.
My man. I love that Dave, over, like, really the last year, especially with his new store in Baton Rouge, has really softened his anti-LSU.
Yeah. It's
refrain.
Been more than a year. You know, I mean, I just have a lot of my close friends are huge LSU fans. And
it's really starting to soften.
That's who I watched the championship game with. And, I've just always hung out with them when they go and watch the games and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I didn't grow up in that era, the Tulane era, when everybody hated LSU and there was a rivalry there. So I never had that rivalry when I was in school growing up. So it's not,
Dave, how much?
I
mean, there was
not
never
more
a
academic.
Rivalry,
it's just, it's like, I know that that rivalry existed and I know that we're supposed to hate each other, but I really don't.
Dave, how much of your LSU softening is, how much of it is your store, and how much of it is Tulane football is actually good? Like,
I think it's more the latter. My store it hasn't really helped my store that much, so it hasn't really been a huge boon for my new store. But obviously, it definitely does not hurt. But it hasn't been like this amazing, you know, season as far as sales are concerned, because we're so new and, you know, nobody really thinks of us.
With the winning,
yeah, because I mean, for, you know, first of all, it's Baton Rouge, it's LSU, like, you know, Walmart sells, the Rouse's sells LSU stuff. I mean, you can get it everywhere, and there are obviously a lot of stores that have been around a while that are well established that always come top of mind to LSU fans. I mean, we just started selling the stuff in July, so
yeah, you have the advantage with Tulane that no one really gives a shit, so it's so niche that the people that want the stuff really have to come to you.
They have to come to you. You're like,
yeah, well,
dealer.
And I mean, but game, no, that's underselling some of what I do. I mean, look, game days are a big thing now that they have the football stadium on campus, and we gear toward the students for game days, and we do a lot of business on game day, and that's doing...
Like outside the stadium?
No. Oh. Like just at the store, but I mean, that's doing, you know... I see the trends, and so I know what a lot of the, especially...
And the Angry Wave is a rockin' logo.
Yeah, the Angry Wave is cool. But so, I mean, I'm selling a lot of, like, cropped jerseys and halter tops and, you know, because that's what the girls at Tulane like to wear. So
what is
that's
your number one best-selling item?
It's good to be the king.
All right, so here's... I told this to a few people. They think it's genius. I buy a women's cut mesh football jersey. It's just a plain dark green football jersey. It's got two stripes on the sleeves. And I pay, you know, whatever, they're like $6, $7. I put Tulane on there and then I crop it. So it's like a crop top football jersey. And I don't throw away the bottom part. So I sell the top crop football jersey, the top of it. I sell that for $25. And then I take the bottom part that I just cut off, and I put Tulane on that, and then I cut it up and I tie it all together, and I sell that as like a bandeau, which is like just a strip that goes like across your chest. Like if you're a girl, it's just like a rectangular sports bra kind of thing, and I sell that for $25. So I'm getting two $25 sales out of a $7 jersey.
You're doing the Lord's work.
That's why Dave lives in a nice part of Metairie. He's smarter than all of us.
That's like some of my finest work. I mean, if we're comparing, if we're comparing that to, you know, Drew Brees, that was like my game against. That was like a game against the Colts in football.
Is it?
It's owning a store and being in retail.
That was the Drew Brees 52-49 Giants game.
You are Picasso of t-shirts.
You know, no, owning a retail store, especially in apparel, is it's gambling, man. Every time you buy something, you know, and you put it in your store, you don't know whether it's going to sell or not. And if it doesn't sell, you eat it. You just lost. You just lost that bet. And if it sells, then you won. So
tell me about it. I got 55 t-shirts for people that didn't show up to the live thing. Or they didn't, or they forgot to get their shirt. But by the way, some of you that are supporters, patrons that have qualified for your t-shirt, they're getting shipped out tomorrow. So be on the lookout for next week. You'll be getting them, which is another quality Dave product that he created for us.
I do have a food segment prepared for, since it's the off season. I've got a food segment prepared whenever we're ready to
go. Do your food segment.
Go now. Oh.
Go.
Well, I just wanted to talk about King Cake since it's Mardi Gras season.
Hey, Dells are bust.
Okay. See, this is already off to a bad start.
Vietnamese king cake is the most overrated thing I've ever eaten in my life.
Here we go.
Who's?
Here we go. This is.
Did you say Haydales?
This is off to a swinging start. So first of all, king cake in general, the whole genre of king cake, with very, very few exception, is totally overrated. I mean, it's just, it's dry.
Oh,
cinnamon.
My God. Here
totally,
we go.
Totally overrated. Having said that, and I've always heard
about
big
Vietnamese king cake. So, I mean, I've always heard good things about Dong Phong and their king cake.
Overrated.
And last week, I finally tasted one. And I am going to say I'm a believer. And everybody else that makes king cake should just stop. They're wasting their time. I don't even know why they even bother. At this point in my life now, it's Dong Phong or bust, and it's not even close. Willa Jean has a really cool, unique king cake that I kind of like. But
Haydells,
get the fuck! If Haydells is the same shit with the same frosting on the top when the dry cinnamon, get the fuck out of here.
I'm nostalgic for Mackenzie's king cake.
Oh God! Oh my God! It probably tastes like cardboard. Jesus Christ!
What's the? There's one that I think is terrible. What's the one that a lot of people get?
Frosting.
Wait, are you pro cream cheese or anti cream cheese?
I'm pro cream cheese filling, but I'm also talking about the frosting. Like, they use like this whipped cream cheese frosting, so it's
yeah,
like
it's small, terrible.
But
yeah.
Oh my god, Jesus Christ! Do you even have taste buds? Did your tongue even own a taste bud?
One you have eaten bud. Healthy for so long, Jude. You can't appreciate good
what's the,
sugar when you put it in
what's
your pie hole.
Cake that is it Randazzo's? Is that what I'm thinking of?
Randazzo's, yeah, that's a popular one.
They're making cakes now.
I think it's Randazzo's. It's the one I can't stand that I think is terrible.
They're all terrible except for Dong Fuang.
King Cake,
you're
man.
Wrong, Dave.
King Cake people take it very seriously. Channel 4 shipped me one from Randazzo's as a thank you for doing the morning show and all that. And my kid, it was really the first time he had had it. And he just wanted to just bury his entire face in it. Kids love King Cake. I'm just going to say that.
Dave, have you noticed that Ralph has been really into the Chef's Kiss reference this year?
Yeah.
That's his 2020.
I need a sound effect. I need to add it. But this, I haven't been able to play this. Dave finally gave me a chance to play this one.
Good to beat it, King.
That's been sitting in the holster for like 4 months. I don't know why I had that one there. And then, of course, this is my all-time favorite, but hopefully he'll be back healthy. He'll be back healthy for 2020.
Oh, I missed that one.
We miss you,
buddy.
I miss
Dave's rage at playing that one.
So, we got some Twitter questions after Dave's food segment. People are arguing vociferously about King Cakes. Alfredo asks, is the Saints getting no called on the same level as the Dodgers, Yankees getting cheated out of a possible World Series titles by the Astros with their sign stealing system? Alfredo, I don't think it's on the same level because the Saints, we knew it at the time. Like, the Saints got fucked, right? You didn't know that the Dodgers in 2017, you didn't know that the Astros were stealing signs. You kind of knew that the Astros had wrecked Hugh Darvish mentally, and he was a basket case in Game 7. So you might have had an inkling, but you weren't 100% sure. And even last year, the Yankees, like, they didn't know that the Astros were stealing signs. If you'd have known it at the time, like the next day or even during the game.
Yeah, you'd moved on.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, man, I agree. I mean, I'm sure it opens the wound a little bit, but it's like you said, it's the Saints thing happened in the moment, and the next day you're just losing your mind over it. You know?
But I will say this for the Dodgers. They lost the 2017 World Series to the Astros, who were stealing signs, and the 2018 World Series to the Red Sox, who were stealing signs. That is fucking brutal. I'm not even going to lie. So, let's see. Do y'all think, this is from Brandon, do y'all think we should sign Malcolm Jenkins to help our secondary?
Oh, God.
How old is he now?
He's old, man. He's got to
be 32.
Yeah. And he wants another payday. He's been good, though, man. He's played every snap for the Eagles.
I mean, from a leadership standpoint, it would be great.
Yeah, playing every snap is not something that a lot of Saints players do.
The thing is, though, is if Vaughn Bell leaves or they needed something at safety, you're not going to get Jenkins at a discount. So I don't see how it would fit.
Do you think anyone is paying him huge money, though?
All it takes is one, right?
He's 32 years old.
The Raiders, maybe. They do dumb stuff.
They do.
Here's a question. What like NFC South or Saints player do you see the Saints going or ex Saints player that Sean Payton might bring back? You know, they flirted with Jimmy Graham 2 years ago, right? Is there anybody out there that they could possibly bring back besides Jenkins?
Did
Andrew?
Did they really flirt with Jimmy Graham? Was that really?
Yeah.
But I mean,
it came down to us and the Packers. The Saints offered him a contract. The Packers just paid way more.
Yeah.
So you decided to go to the Packers.
Is there any other Saints player out there that they could bring back? I'm trying to think. No.
I don't know. What's Al Woods up to?
Akeem Hicks?
No, he's
he's under contract. Well, I guess he could get cut, maybe.
He could cut, traded, or something. They'll go shopping. They'll go shopping somewhere in the NFC. They'll pick up somebody from the NFC South. It won't be a Saints player, but Sean Payton loves himself some NFC South, and they'll get like Shaq Barrett or that Bradberry corner from Carolina. They'll get somebody from the NFC South, I guarantee you. Somebody asked how long the Texans got Kenny Stills. You can bring back Kenny Stills. And then they can bring back Kenny Stills, and we can talk about kneeling for the national anthem all over again. How fun would that be?
I can promise you Kenny Stills will not be back.
Kill me.
So,
don't they really like Logan Ryan? Didn't they try to sign him once?
They did. The corner, yeah.
They need a corner.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to me what the Saints do, because I just believe that and we'll end on this and then get out of here. But you tell me, I want you both to answer, and you tell me if I'm wrong. Dave, I just feel
you're
like the YOLO fever that Loomis and Peyton are going to have is going to be at 110 degrees. Like, they are going.
Wait, 110 degrees? Is that really hot?
Yeah, like it's fever. Okay. Like, they got to have YOLO fever.
Okay.
I feel like they're going to sign Breeze before free agency starts, and on the first day, they are going to do a wow move.
I certainly, I don't put it past them. And again, I said this last week, I think them going YOLO depends. Only happens if they keep Breeze and they know what they have at quarterback. So, but yeah, and I'm hoping they're going to do something that wide. Or even tight end. I mean, just any type of big receiver. I want
Austin
big,
Hooper would be big fun.
Yeah,
stealing him from
or
the
a
Falcons.
Fast receiver. Something like that. That's what I want to see.
Andrew, are the big YOLO days over? Because they haven't done it. They've been reasonable the last 2-3 years in free agency. Are the YOLO days over, or am I right that they're going to do it big one last time?
I think it depends on your definition of big. But no, I think they'll be measured and careful. I think they've settled into, you know, because remember, like the Jarris Bird stuff, that was before Ireland. Think... I think they'll make, you know, they'll sign 4 or 5 free agents, and, you know, they'll be measured in who they sign, and they'll be thrifty a little bit, but, you know, they'll get good deals, and then they'll be super aggressive, trade up in the draft and stuff. So they've kind of settled in, and that's kind of how they roll. And really, you can't complain too much about their off seasons. I mean, DeMario Davis, what a signing he was, right? So I don't know. I feel like they've done pretty well. I mean, the draft this year, I mean, some of the most exciting guys they got on this team were undrafted, with Shy Tuttle and Deontay. And,
yeah.
Ralph, Shy Tuttle, this is where you play the soundbite.
You mean this? That?
Yeah. Yeah, that one.
I'm kind of disappointed that we don't get to hear him say Matt Ryan. In German.
Well, let me find it. But here's the thing, with that is, I'm gonna throw out a name, and I'm just gonna lay down this this marker is Joe Thuney from the Patriots. He's a guard. He started every game for 4 years.
Done.
And
I could see
where
that.
Do I sign?
Yeah, really, seriously.
And
a Belichick guy, I'll take him.
I could see the Saints totally doing that. And this is the soundbite, Dave.
Oh, deception! Deception! Matt Ryan. Oh my God! Wie eine Puppe gibt er den Stiffer ab und er fliegt auf den Boden. Hör doch mal auf.
Yeah, that cheers the people. That's a good way to end this podcast. Cheer the faithful.
That's a good
up.
Way to end every goddamn podcast.
ended that way. So, guys, thanks to everybody in the chat room for hanging out with us. You need to subscribe to the podcast, man. Once the off season, as we get into it and they get free agency and they have the Senior Bowl this week, you're going to want a Saints podcast every freaking day. And we're the only people that do it. $7 a month, you get koozie, magnet, all kinds of swag. If you want to go higher level, you can get the cool t-shirt that Dave designed for us. So anyway, for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, who's working breaking news in St. Louis, a cat's in a tree or something. Until next week, the bar is closed.